Welcome to the Crossing Church Podcast, your weekly dose of sermon messages.
The message I'm sharing today, I've called it the Heart Song of Worship. I will be sharing out of the ESV version, English Standard Version of the Bible. For you who have it electronically, you don't. We might differ a little bit. Okay, so worship. What's worship? Worship is actually a state one should strive to live in day by day. A place where each step and action taken is done so in complete submission to the King, and everything that you do is to honor Him. We have heard many teachings on this, worship meaning doing all that we do with hearts of gratitude, awe, love, adoration, and that is actually what gives us a heart of worship. This is all true, wonderful, and amazing. It's all true and wonderful, but this morning I really want to share with you guys, and I want to focus on our expression of worship to the Lord in song, praise and worship, both in church and in our private homes and in our lives, day to day. So for today, when I refer to worship, I'm referring to song, our expression, praise and worship, dance, etc. Why is worship and song so important to God? Ever asked yourself that? Well, let's start by saying that He who has been since the beginning of time has always existed. And along with Him in heaven, Revelation tells us, are angels. Always and forever, constantly singing praises. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. God is always and forever surrounded by praise and worship. He designed it that way because it pleases Him and He is worthy. Tom Olson once shared 7 points on why song is important to God. And I really felt like this resonated in my message, so I'm going to run through them with you with a little bit of my own interpretation on all of them. The first point, God actually commands us to praise and worship Him. In Colossians 3 verse 16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Ephesians 5 verse 18, "And do not get drunk on wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, as we praise and worship God, we obey Him. Tyrone Daniels, who heads up the NCMI team, once preached in our church, and he said that God's love language is obedience. And so when we praise and worship and we obey God, it's very pleasing to Him because we're speaking to His very love language. 2, when we sing, we receive Christ in all His richness. Galatians 3 verse 16 again. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." So as we teach and as we sing, this causes the word of Christ to dwell deeply within us. We are digging deep wells and rooting ourselves firmly. 3, we build up others. Ephesians 5 verse 18, verse 19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You see, when we get together and we sing to the Lord and we praise and we worship, we're also being a light to the nations by pointing the lost and the troubled to God. You see, our very time of worship, declaring His goodness, singing of His testimony, His wondrous works, encourages those around us building them up. In Psalm 105, verse 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds amongst the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works." When we are completely submitted, worshiping our God, our Father, and singing of all the wondrous things that he's done, our testimonies, and glorifying him, how can it not encourage those and touch those around us? 4. When we sing, we declare war. In Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21, Jehoshaphat came before God and asked God to deliver Moab and Ammon to him in battle and to give him victory over them. So verse 21, "And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire. As they went before the army and say, 'Give thanks to the Lord, for he is steadfast, his love endures forever.'" Don't you love that? The worship team got sent out to battle before the army, before the soldiers. Another example, the walls of Jericho. The walls of Jericho came down when the trumpets blew and an entire nation raised their voices to God. Those walls came tumbling down. There's nothing the evil one hates more and fears more than God's people completely submitted in a position of worship, totally focused on their Maker and Savior, lifting up to him praises of his holiness, worthiness, power, and glory. It shakes the very being of the underworld. 5. When we praise, we strengthen ourselves. Acts 16, verse 25. Paul and Silas were captured and they were in prison. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Even though Paul and Silas were not in the so comfortable position, being in prison and all, they still sang praises and worshipped God in a very difficult position. The thing is, it doesn't matter what situation we find ourselves in. When we turn to God, when we sing to him, when we praise him, our very faith and trust in his ability increases. Our troubles become less worrisome. Our spirits are strengthened. He is the Maker of heaven and earth. He will never forsake us and he will never fail us. 6. When we sing, we access joy. Psalm 5, verse 11. "But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing of joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you." Psalm 9, verse 2. "I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." Psalm 63, verse 7. "For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy." James 5, verse 13. "Is anyone among you suffering? Let them pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise." God designed it so that joy cannot go without singing, and singing cannot go without joy. Joy births song. Song births joy. God wants us to be joyful people, no matter what our circumstances. Be joyful in mourning, troubles, trials, tribulations. Because the very thing, the very moment we turn and praise him, we cannot but feel joy within our hearts, no matter our circumstances. Point 7, sing to glorify God. Point 7 really is taking 1 to 6 all together. Let's recap. obedience to God. When we sing, when we worship, we obey him. Christ deeply and richly in us, through us. When we sing, when we worship, we dig deep wells. Building up others. When we worship, we encourage, we equip, and we shine what he's done for us. Victorious songs of war. When we worship, when we exalt him, like I said, the very underworld shakes. Our spirits are strengthened when we turn all our focus and all our hearts to the King Most High. Nothing can seem greater. If we trust him 100% and lift up our voices to him in song, there's something about singing to the Most High King. Everything else seems to melt away. Living in joy. Accessing that joy that he's intended for us to live in. He doesn't want us to mourn or mope around. He's given us joy, supernatural joy that we can access at any time. When we sing, that joy automatically just unfolds. All of these things, point 1 to 6, equals glorifying God. You see, praise and worship has the ability to connect your whole being and makeup, to completely and entirely focus on him, to shut out the world and meet with him intimately. That's our Father God's greatest desire, is to meet with us intimately. Today, as I share this message of the importance of how we express, there's an ever-larging, bigger, compelling, why do we do this thing called worship? This point needs to be stressed. It's quite simple, really. Do you truly understand and have the revelation of the very sacrifice that took place for your very soul? John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that Nikki, Lauren, Rowan, Hilton, Yulinda, who know him, should not perish but have eternal life. If you were the only person on this God-created blue and green planet, and you, who he knitted together in your mother's womb, in his very image, you were the only soul that the devil was contending for. He would still, and has done it for you, each and every single one of you. Jesus Christ, the Son of the very living God, came to earth, who took on mortal human form, feeling and experiencing every single human emotion and sense. Jesus Christ resisted the devil. He went through the worst form of torture and execution in those days, and I'm sure still today. He was mocked, spat at, beaten, flesh ripped from his very body, stabbed, and ultimately bolted to a cross for you. The ultimate sacrifice, blameless, pure death of the Lamb sent by God to once and for all declare Satan defeated, his power over us broken forever, freedom purchased for us with his very blood. Jesus' very name gives us authority and power over every single evil on this earth. His very name. After truly understanding this, how can our hearts not want to express our indescribable gratitude in every and any way possible? I'm going to use a little example here. Raymond. So, you enter this competition and you get a phone call. And they call you and they say, Raymond, you and your entire family, Wes, Lully, Janet, you've just won an all-expenses-paid trip for entire month to travel the world, your top 10 destinations. Your entire family, whole month, top 10 destinations in the world. How do you respond? Right? Right? I can tell you one thing. I'd be jumping up and down. I'd probably be doing a really awkward and weird victory dance. I'd definitely immediately be calling all my friends and family, sharing this wonderful and exciting news. Let you think, eh? Do we truly understand the call we received from heaven that day that we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? Do we understand the magnitude of all of heaven, all of heaven? I don't know if you've read Revelation. That's like legions and legions and legions. It's huge. Rejoicing on that very day that we got saved from eternal damnation. I know it sounds a bit turn or burn, but that's not what I'm going for here. I'm highlighting the fact that through Jesus Christ and Him sacrificing Himself in our place, we now walk with the guarantee of eternal life. We're seated with Christ. And while we are here on earth, He's given us the keys to heaven. Authority over this world. We live in freedom knowing that the maker of heavens and earth, the God Almighty that makes everything begin, end, happen, turn, has our backs. In every situation. How much more exciting is that than a trip? You guys feeling excited yet? Because you don't look excited. I am exploding with gratitude. When preparing this message, I honestly felt a new and fresh revelation of what it means. I want to quickly look at 9 biblical ways of how we can express our worship. Okay? So we're going to start with the spoken voice, speaking. Psalms 34 verse 1. I hate pronouncing this word, but anyways. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Then we've got shouting. Psalm 27 verse 6. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His tabernacle, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Singing. Psalm 47, verse 6. Sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. Our posture. Bowing. Psalm 95, verse 6. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Standing. Psalm 119, verse 120. My flesh trembles in fear of you. I stand in awe. Dancing. Psalm 149, verse 3. Let them praise His name with dancing and make music to Him with the tambourine and harp. Our hands. Playing instruments. Psalm 33 verse 2. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to Him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. Clapping. Psalm 47 verse 1. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. Lifting our hands. Psalm 63, verse 4. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift my hands. There's something about lifting your hands in worship. I almost see it as a complete surrender. You know, like cowboys and crooks, hands up, you know? Not that God's like that with us, but it's when you stand in awe of him and you put your hands up to the heavens, it's a position of complete surrender, saying, God, have all of me. Take control. Do with me what you will. And nothing pleases our Father more than that position towards him. I read a message 2 weeks ago when I was leading worship before we started. And this passage in the Bible has really resonated with me deeply. And I feel like it is a call from God to each and every single one of us. It's John 4, verse 23. But the hour is coming and is now here. The time is now. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. He's seeking us to worship him in spirit and truth. He's looking for us. I don't know about you, but I want to be found by him, worshiping him in spirit and in truth. I want him to find my heart face down in complete submission, worshiping him with all that I have. I'm coming to a close here now, but what I want to do is there's two things that I feel on my heart here. Number one, I want to know if there's anybody here today that has not met Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, and that after this message today felt like you've had a new revelation within your heart of who he is, felt like you believe in him, believe that the Son of God was sent to die for your sins. I'm going to read that verse again because it's very important to me. And I believe it needs to be massaged into our hearts. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. I truly feel in my heart today that God's heart today is to reignite a passion and a gratitude within us for his majesty. I feel like he really wants to stir up a refreshed revelation and understanding who he is and what Jesus Christ has done for us. You see, God is seeking us to worship him in spirit and in truth. How do we do that? We worship him in truth by really understanding who he is, what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, and by him fanning into flame again that passion, that unstoppable fire within our hearts for their greatness, for what's been done for us. That is how you worship in truth. If you stand in front of the Father and you've got that revelation of God Almighty caring for you, sending his Son down to die for you, caring about your well-being, about you accessing joy, about you being equipped to take on battles, that's how you worship in truth. And then I truly feel like Father God wants us to be filled again, afresh, with his Holy Spirit. I feel like he wants to pour his Spirit out on us this morning to overflowing. We can only give what we've received. And so if we receive his Spirit afresh all the time to overflowing, that's how you worship in spirit. If you feel like your heart's been stirred and you want the Father to touch you, you want the Father to fan into flame again that passion, that desire to chase him above anything else, and that wonderful position of being able to stand in front of him and worshiping him in spirit and truth, and him finding you with that heart of spirit and truth, and to be filled again with his Spirit. And I want those who would like to receive prayer to have a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit and to receive prayer, for God to just fan into flame that passion for Him again, I would like you guys to come forward. I'd like you guys to step out in faith and come receive what the Father wants to impart to you this morning.